Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to me. Show 200. 3 years on the air. Show number 200. This is my bicentennial. And I am so honored today. I told you I would do this. I did it. I got him on the show. We're going to do a 4-to-6-part series on dental health. I'm here with my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera. Doc, say hello.
Good morning, Dr. Medici. I'm so happy to be here today.
We have, what, a 14, 15-year relationship?
Exactly.
We have come up the hard way in dentistry, all right? You, what, an extra 15 or 20 years before me. But the education I have gotten, absolutely unbelievable. I marvel at it. I thank you, to you personally and publicly, for what you've shared with me about teeth. And we're going to do a 4-to-6-part series. I want my listeners, my wonderful listeners, to really get the ins and outs of dentistry, because you know the slant from me. Unless you get educated, you're going to get hurt. So what we're going to do, Dr. A, you and I, we're going to take topics, and over 4 to 6 different shows, we're going to break the topics down and try to give our audience the inside track so they would navigate it the way you or I would navigate it.
Absolutely.
You can't get ripped off in dentistry. I can't get ripped off in dentistry because we know all the tricks. We know what to do. We know how to spend our time, money, and energy, and that's what we want to give our audience. So, as always, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. You've got to listen to the pictures. You've got to listen through the pictures. You have to do that. We're both looking at the pictures. We want you to be looking at the pictures. And here we go. Let's start it off. Cavities. All right? Would you distinguish between a cavity and a hole in the tooth? So you guys out there, you're wondering if you've got cavities. We're going to make a distinction. A hole in a tooth versus a cavity. Dr. Ray, it's yours.
All right. A cavity simply is a depression or maybe an abnormality in the normal surface of the tooth. What we're really looking about, what we're talking about, is decay, caries. So when someone says they have a cavity or they might have a cavity in their tooth, what they're really asking is, doctor, do I have decay or do I have caries in my tooth? And oftentimes, on the outside surface of a tooth, on the enamel or on that layer.
Okay, so here, we're going to go to take a look, guys, at picture number one. Look at picture number one. Dr. Aguilar just mentioned enamel, dentin, pulp cavity. Look at picture number one so you know what he's talking about. We're in the enamel, the white part of the tooth.
So on the enamel, as you look there, the outer surface is enamel, and that layer right underneath the enamel is dentin. But if you follow the contour of that crown down toward the gum line, you'll see you pick up that layer right underneath the enamel, which is dentin. So oftentimes you'll see a brown spot on the enamel, on the side of the tooth, on the enamel, or a brown spot on the side of the tooth, on the dentin, just above the gum line.
I'm going to show them a real picture of a tooth that exposes the dentin. So guys, go to picture number five. Go to picture number five. And look at the two Bucky Beaver teeth.
Now,
can you explain that, Doc? The two Bucky Beaver teeth.
On the two Bucky Beaver teeth, what we're seeing, that's the two front teeth, that's 8 and 9, up toward the gum line, you'll notice where the enamel disappears, and then that yellowish surface just before the gum line, that's the root surface. That's dentin. And oftentimes, patients will get a stain there. And that stain does not necessarily mean there's decay there, but there is definitely a stain. So I would say 90%, 95% of the time on the outside surface of the tooth, if you see stain in that area, it does not necessarily mean that there is decay. That just means that the dentin, which is much more porous than the enamel surface, has picked up stain either through your drink or food. And it has to be differentiated. And you say, but it's sensitive. Of course it's sensitive. When you touch it with your toothbrush or even with your fingernail, what you're talking about is you're touching the outside surface of dentin. Those are dentinal tubules that communicate directly to the pulp of the tooth. And if you scrape on the outside surface of those dentinal tubules, what will happen is you will move that fluid inside those tubules, and it feels like at times that you're actually directly contacting the nerve.
So you're saying that those brown spots that people are looking at now, I hope you are, get a mirror, look in your teeth, you're afraid to go to the dentist. Don't be afraid to go to this dentist. His hands are fantastic. Believe me, I wouldn't have worked with him for 15 years otherwise. His bedside manner is tremendous. His office staff, Penny at the front desk, Kitty on the lines in the back, really, really good people. I don't like dentists. I grew up in New York. Dentists were the enemies. You never went and you paid the price. So what I want my audience to do now is get a mirror and look at your teeth. Look at those brown stains. What Dr. A is saying is those brown stains may or may not be cavities. And what we don't want is you to walk in and have your worst fear concerned that somebody's going to rip and drill out your face because of each of those brown stains represents the beginning of the end for that tooth. There's a distinction between the two, and this is what we're making. Now, let's talk about how these cavities form. Point being, I want the gang to look at book here. Picture number 7. Doc, you and I went through this book yesterday, Cure Tooth Decay by Nagel, forwarded by a couple of dentists. And what Nagel is saying, basically, and I put a article, I want you guys to catch the article up top, quick to view the full article on cured tooth decay. Because at time, we're not going to go into that article. Doc, you've read it. I've read it. Guys, you read it later on. It's out of this book, Cured Tooth Decay, and what they're saying is that before we decided that bacteria created acids and that those acids, Streptococcus mutans, put these brown spots and other forms of holes in the teeth, before we decided that that's what was driving disease, which is Pasteurian, meaning Pasteur said, find the microbe, it causes the problem, kill the microbe. So brush the teeth, use the toothpaste, disinfect with UV light. There was Metchnikov, and you guys have heard me talk about Metchnikov on the show before. Metchnikov, a laureate, Nobel also, was saying, no, the terrain. And before we pinned tooth decay on Streptococcus mutans, in other words, the dissolution of the enamel, thus the hole or the cavity we're talking about, we were saying that possibly if the tooth was mineralized and strong and the environment of the tooth was had high integrity, that the bacteria that you got from eating carbs and junk food wouldn't eat through the enamel. So there's a concept that's called mineralization of the tooth. And sometimes the mineralization can arrest the decay. It can stop it. And one thing I've always loved about you, Doc, as a dentist, is you've understood what arrested decay is, and that the beginning of the cavity just might be facing the high integrity of the enamel in such a way that your own tooth will resolve the decay. Thus the distinction you're making. But would you talk to us about what we mean by mineralization of the tooth and some of the things you've seen in clinical practice where people start getting cavities, not because they're eating worse, not because their hygiene has suffered, but because they're demineralizing. Could you get into that?
Absolutely. Demineralization of the enamel surface and of the dentin surface is something we see all the time, especially with some of our patients who are absolutely perfect with hygiene, but they get into a stressful situation.
Like what?
Like they're
stress?
Taking care of a loved one. My patient population is normally 40 and over. And oftentimes these patients will get in a situation where a spouse is now fighting a disease process that they're having to take care of them hand and mouth. Or absolutely, if the younger population, even in a situation whether it's finals week or it's midterm.
You said it to me 10 years ago. I had the brown spots. You said, Medici, you're under stress. I said, yes, I am under stress. I mean, I know you think this way because you told me this a full decade ago.
Correct.
You see this a lot.
And if the patient can get his oral environment back in balance, no stress anymore, and eliminate the other factors that are contributing to that oral environment that is now imbalanced, and get it back into balance, and with the proper food, with the proper nutrition, and the proper hygiene, and the proper pH in the mouth, the body has a tremendous ability to heal and repair, and it will recalcify those areas of decalcification.
Guys, you gotta hear what he just said. Recalcify those areas where your enamel is leaking minerals, making holes. And if the dentist you're seeing isn't sensitive to that, then what they're going to do is immediately write that hole, that brown spot, off as a cavity, drill it out, put some cheap resin in there, have that resin detach from the enamel surface or a metal, and before you know it, you've got a bigger cavity. This is what Dr. A doesn't do. This is what he hasn't done since I've known him, and that's 15 years. This is one of the reasons we have a relationship. This is why I've brought him on the show, and we're going to go now for a good six shows to make sure you start understanding what you're being told. Demineralization because of stress. Can you think about this now? Taking care of a loved one is stress. What else would you call the kind of stress you've seen, if you think about it, where people just demineralize? Out of nowhere, they start getting these brown spots, these cavities. A couple of other examples.
Well,
sleep.
Sleep deprivation, lack of exercise, lack of proper nutrition. All these will definitely contribute to stress. Stress of the whole oral environment, the whole body. You can't disassociate the mouth from the rest of the body.
I'm going to jump in with a little bit more of the chemistry here. The stress that we're talking about means the adrenals compensate the stress and your cortisol goes way up. Once the cortisol goes way up, what do you guys do? You know, because you listen to the show, you lose bone. Stress means cortisol spikes. You urinate out your minerals, your potassium, your sodium, your magnesium, your calcium. And in response to that, the body's got to buffer the blood so it starts dissolving the bone. The first place the body's going to dissolve the bone is what? The jawbone, the tooth socket, and the enamel. Pregnant ladies, famous for this. Pregnancy, think of it. 9 months of that little thing sucking everything you put into your body into itself at your expense. You don't sleep, you eat, but the food doesn't go to you. You're under stress half the time. Then after you birth, you're after more stress. And like you're saying, Dr. A, what do a lot of females point out after that year or two? All of a sudden, boom, they've got cavities.
Absolutely.
Can they do anything to remineralize? They have to change. If you watch their decay, right? And you've done this with me. You hold back before you drill and then see if the decay arrests itself, counseling them in terms of lifestyle. Have you had experience with the MI paste?
I have, and it's a wonderful product. It's the phosphate, the calcium phosphate that will go in and actually help the body, give it more site-specific repair materials for that area to recalcify. The body is fantastic at healing and repairing, and if you give it the right nutrients, you give it the right armamentarium, it will do that. And all you need to do is counsel the patient before we go in there and start drilling. Because remember, once you drill on a tooth, once you create an artificial cavity that needs to be filled now, you are forever always going to have to refill it, depending on what time span and what type of material, where it's located. But one thing is for sure, guaranteed, there will be a time in the future, well, it will have to be replaced, and if it's not done properly, you may have to end up with a bigger hole and a bigger filling, and
so
that will be replaced down the line.
We spend a little bit of time on if you do have a cavity, a bona fide cavity, you've got to get it drilled. And we talked yesterday about the problem with a high-speed drill in that it goes so fast it creates heat, and that can inflame the pulp, and how you've got some great countermeasures to that that maybe we'll discuss on another show. But that also, once that hole is put there, if you put metal in, explain what happens. We don't want to spend too much time on the metal thing because most of my audience knows metal as a sealant for the cavity is no good. But we're going to discuss what a lot of dentists do that you don't do, meaning you put what, a porcelain in?
A porcelain material in. Well, when you have a cavity, you have three choices to fill it. You can fill it with a metal, a plastic, or a glass.
What's the problem with the metal?
The metal, a metal filling is an amalgam filling, a mercury filling, a silver filling. They're known as alloys. Amalgams, metal, mercury, and silver. All five terms are synonymous for a material that is about 50% mercury that never seals to the tooth or bonds to the tooth from day one. So that means that it's going to be harboring bacteria from day one because it doesn't seal.
So you put it into the hole, and it looks like it integrates into the hole, into the dentin, and into the enamel, but
it doesn't. Does not from day one. The only reason they don't fall out is because the hole is a bell-shaped hole. It's mechanically locked into place. But on a microscopic level, it is literally a filling that harbors bacteria because it's a microscopic highway between the filling and the tooth where saliva and bacteria wash
in around. I hope you understand what he just said. He said that a fair reason, a lot of why the metal amalgam that gets put in doesn't pop out is because of the way they carve the hole.
We actually have, it's called an inverted cone. The drill bit is literally shaped as an inverted cone, and that's what mechanically locks that metal filling in the tooth. The other aspect of that is, since it's 50% mercury, it's extremely thermal sensitive. It expands and contracts 2.5 to 3 times the natural thermal expansion of your tooth with, you know, hot and cold liquids, hot and cold foods. And what it does, then, it has the potential for cracking the teeth. And depending on the patient's, you know, genetics, some teeth are a little stronger than others. It has the potential for cracked teeth. Maybe on another episode we'll show or with these pictures where we can clearly show this. So that leaves us then with two alternatives after that. Since we're not going to use metals.
Which a lot of the audience knows, but we just want to tell them why now, because your family doesn't know because they don't listen to shows like this. So what's the other alternative?
We have plastics and we have glasses.
So. Want to cut in. All your holistic dentists, a lot of them are filling your teeth with the white stuff. Because they know you, the public consumer, doesn't want the metal. Because even the guy eating the Big Mac knows he doesn't want the metal. So what they do is they fill your teeth with cheap plastics. Dr. A is going to comment on why that's a disaster.
A plastic filling on the chewing surface of a molar or a premolar, a large one especially, is not something you want because of the fact that the plastic, yes, it does bond to the tooth. Yes, it does seal. Yes, it does those things that the metal filling does not do. But the problem is it's too flexible because it's a plastic.
Yeah.
It bends, it flexes, and breaks the seal much sooner over time. It's a plastic, so it wears out sooner. And that wearing out and that bending and flexing breaks the seal, that bond between the filling and the tooth, and now you have an environment where you have, in dentistry we call it leakage, but think of it better in terms of seepage, where saliva and bacteria now can get between the filling and the tooth, and now you have a perfect environment for decay.
This is the big one for me. You're the dentist, I'm the free bird, so I'm going to yell at this. Oh, yes, my dentist, he puts those white things in. Oh, yes, don't worry, Medici. My dentist puts the white things in. I'm not getting the metal. I'm getting all the metal taken out, which we didn't discuss, which is a whole other art form that you've mastered.
Correct.
But that aside, I see all these, and of course, these plastic fillings are cheaper. I know they're cheaper. And so you can go in and get your face ripped out in one day, get all the plastic put in, slam, bang, dunk, thank you, ma'am, you're out of there, the bill's cheaper, and you think you got it done because you're now white and clean without mercury. That's what I'm going to give you for that one, guys. Dentists are doing this left and right. You've heard it from Dr. A. Make sure your dentist is putting in what?
Ceramic, a glass. A porcelain and ceramic are basically the same thing. But so why do we have the two terms? The two terms is simply because porcelain makes reference to the earlier iterations of glasses. Ceramics makes reference to the latest generation of glasses in the marketplace. These are the low-fusing ceramics. What does that mean? That means it's a porcelain that mimics the hardness and wearability of your natural enamel.
And it bonds to the dentin or especially the enamel.
Absolutely. So when this is placed in the tooth on a posterior surface, on the chewing surface, now you have a material that flexes, that bends, and wears like your natural enamel. It has the wearability, and it bonds to the tooth because we're putting these in with a glue that is actually a resin adhesive. that is not water soluble. It actually bonds and makes the tooth as strong as it was originally. It is a perfect way to restore the tooth to its original
shape. This is the way you're filling cavities.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is what I want to say to the audience. Maybe that costs a little more. Guess what? You end up being 70 years old with a tiny cavity instead of one that keeps growing and growing and growing. Because whether it's a metal or a plastic, it's going to peel off the enamel or the dentin. The bacteria is going to seep in underneath, and that cavity is going to become a crown. That's going to become a root canal. That's going to become an extraction. That's going to become an implant or a bridge. And it's the Hershey Highway. Do not do it. Get better dentistry. I'm going to endorse this guy. He's one of the few people, as you've noted, I've brought on the show because I've watched him do things right. Remember, how many years with Dr. Marshall?
20.
20 years with Dr. Marshall. You do 20 years with Dr. Marshall, take my word for it, you know what you're doing. And I've worked with Dr. A for about 14, 15 years, and I'll say that for myself included. This guy has stood up to the test continually. He does things correctly. Yes, the phone number, 949-936-0022. 949-936-0022. How else am I going to do this? All right? My patients have bad teeth. People get ripped off all the time. I'm going to turn this forum for the next six shows or so into an educational forum. You can get to the website, you can listen to the shows again, and you can learn the differences. We're talking about one of about 200 little things that are big things that dentists need to do correctly. So right now we're talking about putting in the porcelain filling. If it's even necessary, it may be that you can arrest the decay when it's tiny. So, you guys that do not like to go to the dentist, you know why you don't like to go to the dentist? Because underneath it all, it's drill, fill, and bill. Somehow you get the feeling that either it's going to be painful, it's going to be unnecessary, it's going to be an upgrade, it's going to be bad news, and we all know that there are mortal sins and cavities, and they're the same thing. Here's the point. Dr. A is saying this. If you have a little hole in your tooth, you can do something about that. First, a dentist that can determine whether or not it's even worth filling. And secondarily, MI paste, whereupon, with good hygiene and applying the calcium phosphate into the enamel matrix, you can start to, like he's saying, allow that little hole to repair itself and stop it dead. And then if you do have a cavity, put, like he does, a good porcelain, a good ceramic into that little hole, seal it up good, then, and bada boom, you're done.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for resin or composites, as they're known, on the sides of posterior teeth, on the in-between or in the front or back surfaces of front teeth. There is an application for it. There are places you do not want to put ceramic, because remember, ceramic is not going to flex like a natural tooth. The creator was showing off when he made teeth. It's a lamination of enamel to dentin. It's a very durable surface. You've seen in the news when someone has the unfortunate accident to be identified through their teeth, maybe in a fire or some other type of tragic accident. It's the enamel, which the teeth are the hardest substances. The enamel of the teeth are the hardest substances in the body. It remains because it's that durable, but it's over the flexible surface or the flexible material of dentin. It gives. It flexes.
This flexing of the tooth, we're going to take to bridges. We're going to take to implants. We're going to take to cranial rhythms. We're going to take to a whole ton of subjects. And so what you're saying is put the hard stuff on the biting surface.
Correct.
But put the softer stuff on the side, whether it's a veneer or otherwise, because the tooth has to flex. We don't want to stop the tooth from flexing. I'm going to take that and really build out on that. Right now I want to talk about a few other things. Other reasons people get tooth decay. Now, we were talking about snoring. Snorers, people that snore, are going to get more tooth decay. Comment on that one. Nobody thinks this way.
Well, the first line defense you have for tooth decay is your saliva. And if you're snoring, your mouth breathing, basically, and you're going to dry out the oral environment. Now, that bacteria doesn't dry out. That bacteria is still there. So now, that first line of defense, the saliva is now dried up, called xerostomia. That's the fancy name for it. But basically, it's dry mouth. And when you have a dry mouth, now you have an environment where the bacteria can go wild. Now you've created an imbalance. Once that imbalance is there, once there is a stress in the environment, and this is a stress in the environment, now you have a potential for that bacteria to create the decalcification that starts the slippery slope to a cavity that needs to be repaired.
So you eat your carb dinner because you just have to. You do your job at brushing the teeth, and we're going to get to the best toothbrush later, the best dental floss, the best water pick, the best toothpaste, the whole thing from Dr. A's real clinical experience, not what you read out of a book or listening to some marketing hype. But this guy that snores, okay, and how many of you snore? Ladies, you snore too. People snore for reasons. The CPAP's one of the biggest, what is it, the CPAP and Viagra? I mean, these CPAPs are moving off the shelves. People snore, and what you're saying is when they snore, they cannot neutralize the acids that the bacteria, Streptococcus mutans, produces because there's no saliva, xerostomia.
That's correct.
Absolutely. So you wake up in the middle of the night, your tongue is stuck to your palate. Do you know what that means, that five-hour sleep? It means you've given those dirty little bacteria, okay, a chance to produce acid that your saliva is not neutralizing. That's really big. People don't think that snoring causes tooth decay.
That's correct.
And look how many people are on CPAPs. Now, another one. If you take pH paper and you stick it in your mouth, do that right now. Take your pH paper. I'm not talking about the urine. Stick it in your saliva. Do that all day long. Guess what? I hope you guys know where I'm going. Suppose that pH paper tells you that your saliva is alkaline, like it's dark green, or maybe blue, not sure, can't get the science on that, but dark green. Your pH is 7, 6, 8. What does that mean? Doc, you take it.
Well, now, if you are alkaline, that's where you want to be. You do not want to be acidic. The bacteria produce an acidic byproduct. You want to be able to neutralize that. So if you're going to neutralize it, you can't do that with saliva that's acidic. So it's important to be able to get that oral environment back to balance. So if it's out of imbalance by the acidic environment produced by the bacteria, then the best way to counteract that is with an alkaline saliva environment.
Bingo. So, cure tooth decay. First, make sure it's a cavity. Second, get it filled correctly to stop it so it doesn't become a big cavity. That means no cheap plastics, unless maybe we're talking the side of the tooth, definitely not on the biting surface. Then we're also talking about the environment that bacteria secrete their acid in. The bacteria, Streptococcus mutans, will secrete the acid. Stop it by neutralizing it with saliva. Stop it by having a highly mineralized tooth structure. Don't demineralize your teeth. Meaning what? Don't burn your adrenals out. Meaning what? Anything that supports the adrenals supports the integrity of the tooth. Very, very simple. In short, let's move to dental hygiene. Okay? Let's talk about dental floss. Is it worth it? Can you just brush your teeth and go to bed? Do we need dental floss? Does dental floss, in your clinical experience, forget the studies and the marketing, in your clinical experience, if the average Joe's not going to bed without flossing the teeth, are they making a mistake? What kind of floss? What are the nuances of dental floss?
Well, the bottom line is the whole purpose for floss is to be able to get to those surfaces where the toothbrush bristles do not reach. And that's if you have tight contacts, in other words, where the next tooth butts up against the other, that's what we're talking about. If you have teeth that are picket fence, you don't need floss, because what happens is the bristles get into those spaces in between the teeth. But if your teeth are tight or very close together, you have to have floss.
I always had those tight contacts and
absolutely,
a beautiful mouth and beautiful teeth, and I got the cavities. And I remember as a kid looking at people when they'd smile and they had the picket fence teeth, which aren't as aesthetically pleasing, and I never saw the cavities. which is exactly what you're talking about.
That's exactly right. So you need floss to be able to get in between the teeth and clean the plaque. It takes plaque about 24 hours to get organized enough to stick to the surface of the tooth. So the whole purpose of floss and brushing and any other device that you're using is to mechanically disrupt the plaque. So are we trying to eliminate the plaque? Absolutely not, because it's the part of the natural environment of the mouth. We're just trying to keep it from sticking to the tooth. So don't resort to chemicals, mouthwashes that will kill everything, the scorched earth theory. We do not want that. We just want to disrupt the plaque. And the best way to do that is with brushing and with flossing. Now, what type of floss? You want the kind of floss that will do the best job. The purists will say use unwaxed floss because the nylon then spreads out more and acts more as an abrasive or...
I put on picture number 14, guys. Look at picture number 14, Dr. Tongue's Smart Floss. This is one of the expandable flosses.
It's a great floss because it does that. It goes and it expands and it covers more surface area in between the teeth. What is it doing? It is disrupting because it mechanically causes a friction on the tooth over a wider area than a floss that is wax.
Perfect.
And
so,
wax other type of materials.
So exercise for my audience. Take the regular floss, the one that doesn't expand, eat your carb dinner, go up there, clean that molar out. I guarantee you, you put Dr. Tongue's Smart Floss in there or any of the other expandable flosses and you're going to pull out a chunk of garbage in between your spaces that you didn't know you had there. So, dental hygiene, number one, throw the floss out, get the expandable floss.
Now,
there's number one.
Now, why do you end up with these spaces? Like you say, well, 20 years ago, I didn't have these spaces that I have now. The problem is what you're doing is the spaces, it's called the interdental space, okay, in between the teeth. There's that little triangle where the gum goes up. That gum is referred to as the papilla. When that starts to lower, so that, in other words, when you get bone recession, you get bone loss, you'll get bone recession and you get gum recession. And remember this, this is really important. When a dentist or a hygienist tells you you have a gum issue, you want to translate that immediately. When you have gum recession, you hear gum recession, but you know what they're saying is you have bone loss. You only get gum recession. So generalized gum recession when you have bone loss. On that picture, number five, that's a great picture. What we're looking at there on those lower front teeth, notice that the little black triangles between those lower front teeth are bigger in a couple areas than on the other sides of those front teeth. That tells us that that patient has bone loss. The number one place for bone loss in people's mouths are those lower front teeth because they are the smallest roots. They have the smallest amount of bone being held there. And remember, Dr. Medici, you mentioned earlier the most sensitive bone in the body is the jawbone, and that's where you'll see bone loss. So this is now, how do you maintain that? Well, better way to do that is with an interdental brush. You showed me yesterday a fantastic little brush. Dental Tech is a great little interdental brush. So you want to be able to get in between the teeth. The whole idea is now what you're looking at on that picture number five, that patient now on those teeth has more surfaces than he had 20 years ago.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to sum that up. Guys, picture five, look at the two Bucky Beaver teeth. You see between the two Bucky Beaver teeth how the gum comes to a point? Dr. A is saying that's the papilla. Now, if you follow those teeth to the top of the tooth, you see the exposed dentin. We were talking about that before. That is not gum recession. We call it gum recession. Bad term. Dr. A is saying that means that the socket, the bony socket that the roots of those teeth sit in, that bony socket is disappearing. And the gum follows the bone. So if the bone disappears and the gum follows the bone, then you start to see the gum recede. And that's what he's talking about. And that opens up those tricky little spaces that certain types of toothbrushes are going to address and other types are not going to address. Please take your handhelds and throw them in the trash. I mean, he may not say that. I'm going to say it. Get rid of your handhelds. The issue today is between the circular head and the one that goes back and forth. Dr. A educated me yesterday. He votes for the circular head. He votes for the one that goes back and forth.
Correct, not the circular head.
Exactly, and I think he's got a good reason. So I want you to look at that picture, and then pick up and explain why you're going for the...
Well, the circular head, the whole idea is we want something... Well, first of all, let's address the issue of manual versus electric. The Sonicare toothbrush, which is the toothbrush that I prefer, will have the brushes, will go back and forth. You'll get 31,000 brush strokes per minute. So that's far superior than you could ever come close to by handheld. The whole issue is that what's nice about the Sonicare toothbrush...
This is the one that goes back and forth, not
right?
The circular Oral-B.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or the Rodadent or the Oral-B. Those are the ones that go in circular fashion or any other model that goes
I've been using a circular one. Maybe it's why I got a little cavity. So you're into the back and forth routine.
The reason I'm back to the back and forth routine, and remember, it's a very short stroke... The bottom line is that the brush bristles are engineered to be extremely soft and flexible, and then the very tip of the brush is then has so it is flared out, so you have a very multi-tipped end on the end of that one little piece of the bristle. So the bristle has all these little tips at the end of frayed, if you will, that are soft and polished, and when you use it with the proper pressure to get into the sulcus. Now, we were going to show a picture of the sulcus.
I didn't put a picture of the sulcus up, but
well,
can't
sulcus,
we use it on five?
I can describe it.
Yeah.
Yes, on five there. That sulcus is there's a natural little pocket between the tooth and the gum that's about 1 to 2 to 3 millimeters. And what that does is it allows those breast bristles to get into that sulcus.
So the sulcus is where the gum meets the tooth.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there is still a little gap there between the tooth and the gum. And those bristles, because of the angle, you can angulate those bristles to get in there and do a much better job than circular. Because circular, I feel, may cause a little too much friction, because the whole tendency is to get in there and press a little harder. If you see, especially if you're seeing stain on an area where there's not decay, it's just natural to want to press a little bit harder. What I like about the Sonicare toothbrush, it will not allow you to traumatize a tissue with the brush bristle.
You know, though, I am thinking of it, because you educated me yesterday on this, and I'm going to switch toothbrushes, because I was using the Oral-B circular. But when you're washing grease off a wall, you tend to go back and forth.
Correct.
You don't tend to go circular. I mean, you may throw a few circulars in there, but you go back and forth. This makes more sense to me.
Well, it just allows you to manipulate those brush tips, the bristle tips, to get into that sulcus much better and to do it in a fashion that is atraumatic to the tissue. The Sonicare toothbrush literally will tell you if you're pushing too hard. It'll give you a tactile sense feedback to tell you you're putting too much pressure.
And if you put too much pressure, what's the consequence?
It's trauma. And whether it's the gums or the teeth, you don't want too much trauma. Too much pressure on that neck of the tooth where it's on the dentin surface, the root surface, that will create what you oftentimes see, and some of you may out there, you can feel there's like a little notch or a little wedge on the tooth surface, the root surface, right at the gum line. Those are referred to in the business as abfractions.
And yeah, abfraction. I'm going to cut in. Guys, we're going to get to abfractions later, meaning when you put too much pressure at the neck of the tooth, right where the tooth meets the gum and the dentin starts to show itself. Guess who's got that bad? Clenchers.
Absolutely.
And we're going to get to that at another time, but I just want to throw that in now. Picture 14. Talk about that one. Look at picture 14.
This is
what I'm buying.
This is Sonicare's top of the line. It's called their Diamond Clean. It's their Cadillac version, if you will. What's so nice about it is that it has five different settings. So you literally can ramp up the intensity of the brush strokes. It has quad pacing, which means it allows you to brush your teeth for 2 minutes, and it teaches you after 30 seconds what it will do is it'll give you a little hesitation. It just tells you to go on to the next quadrant or to go on to the next area.
This is $200, right?
Correct.
So you're going to get your handheld for $5, and you're going to go out and spend $200 on this against saving yourself cavities, root canals, crowns, gum recession, because when the plaque builds up, creates bone loss, and bone loss is gum recession. The dentin gets exposed. Spend the money.
I like this toothbrush. I like their other model that's just a step down for this. which is the FlexCare Platinum, which is an ideal toothbrush.
Do you remember
as well.
About how much the FlexCare is?
It's about $20, $30 less than this.
Okay, so they're both high-end.
They're both high-end.
Compared to a lot of these Sonicares you can get for like $60, $70.
Now, listen, the last time the rep reported to me that one of the he feels that what, if you're going to get one of these, the best place is to get it at the dental office because the dental office offers a rebate and then they have a return policy second to none that you can't get at Target or Best Buy. But you don't want, according to this rep, is to get them from Costco because Costco has a great way of repackaging, like new heads on old handles.
Yeah, I'd be careful with that.
They do it
totally.
In a way. They do it in
a
manner.
I don't trust it, man.
I'm
not even buying TVs
from Costco. I was surprised to hear that when he told me. I mean, it all makes sense because they buy in such huge volumes. But the bottom line is, whether it's circular or whether it is back and forth, use the electrical rather than your manual toothbrush.
Okay, because you're taking off the biofilms.
That's correct.
The biofilms.
The biofilm is that polysaccharide junk that sticks to your tooth. It's where the bacteria hang out. You want to be able to break that up and get that out of there.
You mean the slimy stuff?
The slimy stuff on
so
your
tooth. So you eat a carb day, your pizza, your candy, your Coca-Cola, the holidays, and you've got this oil slick on your teeth. That's a biofilm. It means the Streptococcus mutans is in a mucopolysaccharide sack that you could ice skate on. That's what you're paying extra money for a great toothbrush to get that off so you're squeaky clean.
That's the other nice thing about the Sonicare. They actually make a sanitizer, not a sterilizer, but they have a device that will, when those brush heads pop off, you can stick it in a little sanitizer. And their sanitizer, which is utilizes ultraviolet light, UV light, will actually kill Streptococcus mutans. It kills Streptococcus mutans. It'll kill the herpes simplex virus. And it'll kill E. coli. Now, does that mean that it totally sterilizes the toothbrush? No, but it certainly diminishes to a tremendous degree the amount of bacteria, especially strep mutans, that will, create cavities in the mouth.
All righty. So, let's take a quick summary here. John Q. Public wants to stop tooth decay. Number one, find a dentist that can distinguish between real tooth decay and just a hole.
Correct.
That's number one. Number two, give that little hole a chance to amend itself by mineralizing it, say, with MI paste.
Remineralization.
Understand that loss of minerals in the tooth is about many things. Pregnant women have it. People that don't sleep have it. People under high emotional stress have it. People who have a lot of trauma to the tooth because you clench have it. People that get braces put on, that's trauma to the teeth. While you're changing your bite, you're stressing the structure of the tooth, so on and so forth. That's trauma to the tooth. Understand that it's not just this lame reasoning that a bunch of acids from a bacteria are eating through your enamel and you can't do a thing about it. If you get the cavity and you've got to have something put in and you're smart enough to know you don't put the metal amalgams, don't get sucker punched into these cheap resins. Because like Dr. A said, it's worse. It's just as bad as the metal in another sense. It's going to pop out, expose, and create bigger tooth decay later on. Get the porcelain at the biting surface. Okay. Hygiene we just went through. We talked about an expandable dental floss. We talked about the better type of toothbrush. Give us a word on toothpaste. Should the person brush their teeth with baking soda versus toothpaste with herbs in it? I mean, baking soda alkalizes. You have an opinion about that.
Baking soda totally does alkalize, and I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with, patients who are using baking soda daily and aggressively. The other aspect of baking soda, aside from its chemical aspect that it alkalizes the situation, chemically and physically, though, physically is abrasive. So you want to make sure that it's basically too abrasive to use on a daily basis. So you're much better off using a toothpaste. The whole purpose of a toothpaste and commercial toothpaste today is to make the mouth taste good. Now, the The companies, the big commercial companies, Colgate, Crest, are all getting on board now, addressing certain things from a more chemical standpoint to help you from a whole body issue as far as the chemicals that are inside these toothpastes. But if you're going to use something, a toothpaste, remember, really, honestly, toothpaste is a luxury. You could do what you're trying to get, which is disrupt the plaque. You could do that just with a wet toothbrush, you know, put some water on there. But if you're using herbals, if you're using herbs to go in there and to tonify the tissue and add benefits from that chemical issue that you get from herbs, it's a far superior way to go. So you want to stay away from sodium lauryl sulfates because those are additives you don't know. It's a foaming agent you don't really need.
Okay, so you're basically saying the number one reason you mess with your mouth to stop tooth decay is get rid of the plaque.
Disrupt the plaque.
Done.
Correct.
All right, there's number one. Then we're suspecting that if you can keep the environment alkaline, the acids are going to get neutralized, and they won't eat the holes in the teeth. So thus, the argument for baking soda, except you've got to counterbalance that with the notion that the baking soda is too abrasive.
Correct.
Now, let's get to the killer topic, fluoride.
Absolutely.
We had this discussion yesterday. Picture number 16, there's Prevenent. I can tell you what I've tracked. From fluoride treatments to people that use Prevenent, to people smoking cigars at lunches that have no vested interest in backing Prevenent or otherwise, they'll tell you in their clinical experience when people use things like a higher fluoride toothpaste or fluoride treatments, it reduces cavities. Now, you and I spoke yesterday. I don't think we're going to endorse this yet, but we are going to say that if you look at this as a cost-benefit decision, clearly it reduces the amount of cavities. Now, that's been studied again and again and again, against which we have to consider that if you use a fluoride toothpaste, that fluoride just might float around your body systemically, and that's a potential disaster. You're going to give your view. My personal thing is fluoride in the water, fluoride through foods, this, that, the other thing, absolute disastrous. But if you have someone over the first 30 years of their life, they're going to rot their teeth out against just getting a fluoride treatment and minimizing the amount of decay because there's no other way. To me, that's something to think about. People who are just going to get a lot of tooth decay, these fluorides can work. That's something to think about when you choose a toothpaste. Controversial, but I know it works. The issue is, and we're going to research this.
And we're going to get back to you on this and have a further discussion because this is a really good topic, especially with parents who have young kids and children in those ages that you talked about, all the way up to 30, as you pointed out. But certainly in the adolescent years all the way up through young adulthood.
Because the concept is just the fluoride from the toothpaste will stop tooth decay, and the fluoride absorbs into the enamel, and that's it. Then why are we worried about a systemic issue? Fluoride in the pineal gland, fluoride uptaking in the bones of the body, when basically it's the enamel of the teeth that's going to... And the notion that the fluoride over the years causes more brittle teeth, I want to see the studies that prove that. I want to see anyone with enough clinical experience to assure me that people that have fluoride treatments have far more brittle teeth and that by the time they're 50 or 60, they're going to have more cracked teeth because the fluoride made the tooth structure more brittle. I want to see that, or I at least want to hear that enough times from someone's clinical experience before I'll throw out fluoride.
Absolutely. So, and we both agree that on a systemic issue, that's something we want to stay away from as far as its relationship to how it affects the bones. But how it specifically affects the teeth, we'll address that later. And as I told you yesterday, I'm going to do a little bit more homework on that before I can give you a definitive answer.
Okay. Tooth decay. Somewhat studied. We'll get back to it definitely over the next 4 or 5 shows in different ways. Last thing I want to say is this, and then we're going to move to crowns. And you are the master of crowns. I will get on air now to say, Dr. A put about 8 crowns in my mouth. For my New York years, I needed about 8 crowns. This is 12, no, maybe 14 years ago when he did my teeth. And the notion about a crown is when you put a crown in, the margin's going to leak. eventually. And once the margin leaks, of course, he doesn't use a water-soluble adhesive, so his margins don't leak. And he is the Michelangelo of crowns. I mean, you really are. And just to make sure I wasn't partial, what did we do? After 10 years, we took off about 4 to 5 crowns. And I know because you showed me up on the TV camera, there was absolutely no decay underneath those crowns. So I'm going to go on air and publicly state, if you need a crown done correctly, a crown is an art that we're going to get into a little bit today, but it's an art form. You have to know how to place a crown, seat a crown, glue a crown, adjust the bite, use the right materials. There's a whole comprehensive art form to it. And you are the master of crowns. Talk to me, in your opinion, about what makes a crown a crown. What if you had a young dentist, and you do, you know, you have Dr. Hilton.
Correct.
Dr. Hilton's in his 30s.
Correct.
He's a protege. You train him. If you were sitting there talking to him like a son, 2 to 3 of the most important things you could say to a young dentist, your young dentist, you in the audience, about the art of putting on a crown. Go ahead.
The whole idea is to remember this. When you put on a crown, the goal is to maintain as much of the natural tooth as you can. So a short crown, which is called an onlay, versus a full crown, which goes all the way to the gum line and gives you complete full coverage. The whole idea is for you as a dentist to be able to assess what is happening. Now, when you're replacing an old crown, that's a different story because now you're faced with a situation where someone has already made that decision for you. They've removed as much tooth as they chose to at that time for whatever reasons they did. So if you're replacing an old metal crown or porcelain over metal crown, the decision has been made ahead of time. So your goal now is to go in now, replace that with a crown that no longer has metal. Why do we not want metal in the mouth? Whether it's a filling or a porcelain over metal crown or an all-metal crown, whether it is gold, somewhat gold, or no gold, we want to make sure that we don't have metals because metals create an electrogalvanic potential in the mouth with other metals. So that's something you do not want because it's literally an electrical charge in the mouth that will affect not only the other teeth and the degradation and the advancement of the decay and corrosion.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. A lot of holistic dentists do this. What I'm trying to get the audience to understand, and what I don't need to get you to understand, but you put my crowns on, and 10 years later, the margins did not leak. I want to know why that
is. The reason that is the case is because the crowns we put on with a glue that is water insoluble.
Ah.
When a traditional dentist puts a crown on with a porcelain over metal crown, he's using a cement. And that cement is basically a glue that's water-soluble. About 5 years. Do you realize in the state of California, the largest insurance provider is Delta Dental? And a porcelain over metal crown is such a substantial structure. That crown will last 50 years. It's that potent. It's that tough.
Yeah.
That porcelain is so hard and that metal is so durable. But guess how often Delta Dental, or any, it's a standard within the industry, will replace a crown. They'll replace a crown every 5 years.
And why is that?
Because they know the weak link is not the crown. The weak link is the glue they're put on with.
And you don't use a water-soluble glue.
Absolutely, because we're using no metal. It's always a ceramic, and that ceramic is bonded. It's chemically bonded to the tooth, and we do that with a resin adhesive. It's basically it's a base and a catalyst. It's like an epoxy, if you will. It's water insoluble, and so now we get a true sealing at the margin. That is where the tooth and the crown come together. That edge we call the margin.
So you guys take a look at picture number 18. All right, that's picture number 18.
And what we have there is a porcelain over metal crown. But if you visualize that crown going on strictly all porcelain, now that edge where it meets the tooth is called the margin. So if you put that on with a glue that starts
to... So that margin is that ledge.
That ledge, exactly.
The ledge that crown fits over. Now, you carve that ledge.
Absolutely.
You carve it.
Correct.
And if other dentists carve it and they don't do a good job carving that ledge, then that crown doesn't seat over it correctly.
That's correct. And we have to go back in when we redo it and modify that to be a good ledge or margin.
So I'm gonna compliment you, because you're not gonna compliment you. I'm gonna do it. When you put a margin on a crown, the art you put into that is tremendous. I know. I have at least 8 of them that I watched you do, even though I was asleep, because your hands are so darn good that I was that relaxed. So there's one part of it. The other part of it is this. Those of you seeing the dentist that mills the crown in-house. Now, this is a controversial one. I'm going to give you my shot on it. In other words, when you go and get the crown made, 2 hours later, get it put on in a one-stop shop. I think asking people on both sides of the fence off the cuff that it's better to have a highly trained, skilled art master dental tech make the crown, the kind you come back 2 weeks later for. That's what I think. That's what I've heard. That's been my experience. Now, I don't know what Dr. A is going to say, but I do know this. He doesn't do in-house crowns. He sends them out to the lab. Say whatever you want to say on that.
No, I would agree with you 100%.
You will.
I have a CIRAC machine, and I've had it from the first iteration.
That I didn't even know. Okay.
Yeah, I have a CIRAC machine, and I use it for inlays, for those fillings that we would do in-house, that you, instead of doing a composite.
Guys, an inlay means it goes inside the tooth. It doesn't go over the top of the tooth. That's an onlay. But go ahead.
But if you, and there are times that I will make a crown in one step with a CIRAC machine. Why? Because I have Dr. Hilton, who's literally been working in my office since he was in high school. He knows how to design. He's taken it to an art form. So first of all, he knows how to prep the tooth properly. He knows how to take the proper impression. He knows then how to design that. And he will then literally, now we don't do this all the time. We do this on a limited basis, because there are times when we have a patient who's flown in from out of state, and time requirements are that we, if the parameters of the tooth in front of us are such that it allows the computer to do as good a job as we can with the lab, he'll go and do it. But if those parameters exceed what we feel the computer can do, in relationship to a lab, then we will send it to the lab. And actually, we now work with a very specialized lab that will allow us to turn this crown around in 1 week or less.
All right.
It doesn't have to be done 2 weeks.
We've got about 40 seconds left. We're going to pick up with crowns next week.
It's a good topic.
Look at your teeth. Look for the brown spots. Make the right move. If you are lost in the dental web, advice comes from 949-936-0022. Ask to speak to Penny. That's Dr. A's wonderful office manager, 949-936-0022. We're going to do at least 6 shows. There's too much to talk about. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. A.
Thank you, Dr. Medici.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.